Good morning and welcome, everyone. This beautiful sunny day. Just a couple of announcements. The first one is from Kim. There's a UCW sale at the back of the church after church. There's going to be chowder, soup, jams, and sweets. I didn't touch it. It's not me. On the September 29th, in honor of Canada's National Day of Truth and Reconciliation, it is Orange Shirt Day on the 30th. So we're asking if you can come dressed in orange on that Sunday, the 29th. On October 5th, we have the Halloween costume swap. So if you have any old costumes and you're looking for something in a bigger size, come on down. Bring your kids, grandkids, the neighbors. They're also looking for volunteers, so if anybody's interested in helping out with that. Then on October 27th will be the Halloween party. There'll be crafts, treats, games, decorations. We're also still looking for greeters, readers, and people to do baked goods for fellowship. I know last week we were given an estimate. The grand total for the Grand Bazaar was $2,527. So thank you for everybody who came out to help. At the back, you can see that we do have some baskets. We are selling tickets for those. They are three for $5. October 2nd is the Regional UCW Leadership Day. That is in Smith Falls. And then the October 8th is the UCW Gathering in Portland. And then we have our fall bus trip, which is November 2nd, and it's going to the St. Laurent Shopping Center. Now, if you can bear with me for a moment, just do a little self-promotion. We have been sharing our space with the Centennial Choir. And I'm proud to announce that the Centennial Choir is being inducted into the Cornwall and Area Arts Hall of Fame. It is on October 26th at 7 p.m. at the Best Western, and tickets are $100. I know there are some people in here who support the Centennial Choir, so we'd love to see you guys come out for our induction ceremony.
Good morning. One more announcement. This glasses case has been sitting at the back of the church since I got back. I don't know if it belongs to anyone here. If it does, it's around. So come find me and we'll make sure you get it. Also, an apology. We don't know what gremlins got into the sound system that is causing all the feedback, but we have been trying to work on it. Todd and Amanda, I know, were in here working on some things earlier this week and trying to adjust pieces, so please bear witness please be patient with us as we do our best to figure out what those gremlins are and how to fix them, because I know it's annoying for all of us and distracting for all of us. So thank you for your patience with that one. Now, as we begin this time of worship, we remember that we're situated on the traditional territory of the Unkwehonwe. We acknowledge and give thanks for the enduring presence of First Nations, Métis, and Inuit people on this land. And as a community of faith, we are committed to moving forward in the spirit of reconciliation and respect.
Thank you.
Let's call each other to worship, believing that God made and loves the world. We gather that it may be restored to fulfill God's purposes.
We pray
to seek a wisdom deeper than our own. To honor God who gave us a voice. And so as we worship, we remember that we are partners and participants in the work of God. Let's join together in prayer. God, God the Maker, maker of color, sound, texture, movement, and the ceaseless beauty in living things. God, God the Maker, maker of granite and mustard seed, of gray cloud and starlight, of earthquake and heartbeat. God, God the Maker, maker of all that is unseen, of all that has been, of all that words could never capture. God, God our Maker, we, the children of your love, the beneficiaries of your kindness, the guardians of your creation, we bless you.
We bless you for your making, your trusting, your loving, your never-ending goodness.
Amen. I invite you to join together and sing Shadow and Substance. And we turn to God with our prayer of confession, knowing that God is there waiting for us with the joy of forgiveness. We are grateful, Creator God, for all the benefits extracted from land and sea, for all the people who have risked their lives for our comfort, our health, our wealth, and our mobility. We did not know God, who is with us in our darkness. We did not know the cost to our radiant planet. We did not wish to know God who illumines our darkness. We did not wish to know the cost to your people. Health destroyed, communities ruined, land degraded, children laboring, conflicts raging. For the sin we could not confess.
For the sin we did not confess.
For the sin we chose not to confess. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Well, friends, there is good news, and that good news is that God continues to create. In Christ, we are made a new creation, and the Holy Spirit guides us in the way of renewal. In that transformation, we find God's forgiveness. Thanks be to God. I invite you to join together, and we'll sing Each Blade of Grass.
Each blade of grass, every wind that soars, the
Do you guys want to join me for a story? And some discussion time? All right, so our story today, it comes from the Gospel of Mark. And in this story, Jesus is walking and talking with his disciples. He's teaching them, and he's teaching them about some things about faith that are kind of hard to understand. Because when it comes to faith, it's not always easy to understand. Our faith grows and changes, and sometimes we encounter hard things, and it just doesn't make sense to us, right? Yeah. Adults, right? Yeah. And the disciples, well, they were scared. They were scared to ask questions. I'm not sure if they didn't want to know what Jesus was getting at, because he was talking about some pretty weird things that they really didn't get. Or if they were scared to speak up, because sometimes, maybe you know, like in class, is it sometimes scary to ask questions because you think everyone else will make fun of you because you don't get it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, I had that problem. Have you gotten over that one?
Yeah?
Oh, good for you.
I've done it in kindergarten and grade one.
Awesome. So sometimes we also have really good teachers who say it's okay to ask questions and please ask me as many times as you want. And that's really good. But the disciples weren't there. So they completely avoided this conversation. And they turned it around and started arguing with themselves. They were chirping each other up about who's the goat. Right? For those of you who don't speak Gen Alpha, who's the greatest of all time? Who's the goat? Yeah, that one too. Who's the king of the castle? And so they were arguing amongst themselves, and when they got to where they were going, Jesus said, So tell me, what were you talking about back there on the road? I didn't hear you. Do you think he heard them? I think he heard them. But I think he was kind of playing dumb because he wanted them to talk about it. And they didn't want to tell him. They didn't want to tell him that they were arguing about who was the greatest of them all. I don't know if anyone's a dirty rascal. I don't know if that's a really kind thing to say.
We do that at home.
You do that at home?
We have like this ottoman, we stand on it, and then we say, who's the dirty rascal?
Oh, so you play King of the Castle?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh, and who's the dirty rascal? Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of fun. Well, Jesus kind of knew what they were getting at, though. And so Jesus said, let me show you something. So he drew them around in a circle, and he found someone who had a child who was nearby and said, can I borrow your kid for a second? And brought this kid into the community and said, you know, if you want to be the greatest, if you want to be the goat, if you want to be the greatest of all time, the king of the castle, or the queen of the castle, what you need to welcome each other. And you need to welcome little ones, people who don't have any power. People who might never, ever be the king of the castle or the queen of the castle. You have to welcome people who might seem a little weird to you or a little different or people who you just don't understand. You need to welcome these people. And when you do that, you welcome me. So, you know how we are kind of talking about following Jesus? Yeah? When we follow Jesus, it means we welcome each other. So I'm curious. What does welcoming each other look like? For example, the door, opening the door, making sure people can get in and out. What about, should you have someone standing at the door and saying hi? Yeah? Right? We ask for greeters on Sundays. Welcoming each other looks like saying hello as we come in. That's what you do, yeah. Sometimes you do when you're outside, saying hello to folks who get here. Yeah, and sometimes there are adults even further inside who do the same. Yeah. What are other ways we welcome people? Maybe in church, maybe at school, at our homes, other places in our lives. What do we do? With a hug? Or a handshake? Or a fist bump? Or an elbow bump, depending where we're at? High five. Hmm? Inviting them to join us. Okay, so we're going to be kind. That's not exactly. So that's just a no. You can show it another time, right?
Tip of the hat.
A tip of a. Okay. What else can we do? I know you know this skill. How can we invite or how can we welcome people? We try and connect with each other and try to connect with those who might be on the sides or sort of the ones who might not already have people they're talking to, especially if they're new, right? We feed the sheep. All right? We introduce ourselves because somehow you feel more welcomed when you know someone's name and when someone knows your name. We ask questions and we get curious about each other. So we get to know each other. Sometimes we ask crazy questions. And hopefully sometimes we are playful in a kind way, right? As we get to know each other. So those are some ways we can welcome each other. Maybe you can think of more as you go downstairs and learn about this some more and unpack it some more with Dawn. Can we pray? Mm-hmm. Holy God, we thank you that you know each of us so well. We thank you that you welcome us and invite us to be inviting in your name. We ask that you give us the courage to extend that invitation to each other. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Have fun. And we're going to continue singing.
Holy God, open our hearts and our souls that we may receive your word with curiosity and grace. Give us the courage to ask questions and to seek new perspectives as we listen to these sacred stories that have been passed down through the ages. Our first focus lesson is from James 3:13-4 and verse 2, 7, and 8. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambitions in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, There will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. These conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you. You want something and you do not have it, so you commit murder. You covet something and you cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Our second focus lesson is Psalm 1, and it has a sung refrain. Blessed are those who do not follow the counsel of the wicked, or linger in the way of sinners, or sit down among those who mock. They are like trees planted beside streams of water, yielding their fruit in due season. As for the wicked, it is not so with them. Therefore the wicked shall not be able to stand when judgment comes, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Our third focus lesson is Mark 9, chapters 30 to 37. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they didn't understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about in the way?" But they went silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." May our sacred story help us as Knox St. Paul's United Church to hear God's continuing call to us, setting you up in public ministry so that my presence through you becomes known to all who journey alone.
Thanks, Kim. Will you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be inspired by you this day. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's many years ago now, but back in the days when Chris Hadfield was an astronaut on the International Space Station, I truly appreciated his social media posts. He would make details, posting them on YouTube and sometimes on social media about like how it is to live in space. How do astronauts eat and drink and do all kinds of things in space? How do they play guitar? That kind of thing. And it was fascinating because I'd never seen anything like it before. And another thing he did was post pictures with his high powered telephoto lens of the Earth in different perspectives that no one else in this world would would, well, or at least very few in this world would ever see. And there were a couple that stuck with me through the years, and one was a picture of a caravan of camels traveling through a desert. And if you read the caption, it said, "What you see is not camels. What you see is their shadows." It was the sun that was either rising or setting and casting their shadows far across the sands so that you saw the outline of the shadows, but the camels were so small, they were almost indistinguishable. You had to really zoom in on the picture. Another was a picture of Berlin at night. And in the caption, it said, "You can still see the divide between the east and the west based on the infrastructure, because the kind of light bulbs they used and the light standards they used in the two different sides were different, and it emitted a different quality of light." So you could still see that political conflict of many, many years ago that has been done for a long time now in the infrastructure. And it was these kinds of images and these kinds of videos that got me curious about this world, and I think that was his point, was to pique our curiosity of anyone who happened upon them so that we can think about this world that we live in. And there were some slightly barbed remarks in his captions and slightly thought-provoking questions about this world and the conflicts that we have and the people that live here and how we share this space. And that's why it sticks with me still, was it 15 years later? 10 years later, somewhere in there. Anyway, it stuck with me that long, because they helped provoke curiosity about this world that we live in. And now when it comes to curiosity, the disciples in today's gospel show a distinct lack of it, to the point where it's kind of tragic, actually. And I think the Epistle of James also touches on this, although James talks in rather strong language about it, about what happens when we lose our curiosity. And when we put our focus on possessing things and wielding power. But back to the disciples, Jesus had carved out time with the disciples. I don't know if you caught that. He was alone with them. He was making sure they had this time to learn from him, and he had some things to teach them away from the crowds. He wanted to teach them about what would happen to him as he stood up to the lions of injustice and how he would eventually be killed. And even so, Jesus knew God's plan to let love conquer all and to make sure death didn't have the final say was there. And he tried to get that point across too. But as I mentioned with the kids, the disciples just didn't get it. And honestly, I don't think I can blame them. Some of the teachings of our faith are weird and difficult. And this was one of those concepts. And add to that the fact that most of us aren't comfortable talking about our own death. So the tragedy comes in the fact that the disciples didn't even ask about it when they didn't get it. They were too afraid to go there. So instead, they avoided that conversation altogether. Not withdrawing into themselves and being quiet, but just completely derailing the conversation as they argued about who was the greatest. And now that's the song and dance we know. We're bombarded with advertisements all the time telling us why different products are the best. We're bombarded with media coverage of politics, right now south of the border especially, but also with our own, where we're confronted with rhetoric about who is the most important. And conversely, who or what we can ignore and marginalize. Who can we make fun of? Who can we call a dirty rascal, as the kids were saying? Now that one, that's in jest. Our politicians, our everyday conversations, I don't know if it's in jest as much. Now, I don't imagine the disciples and their arguing were looking to marginalize each other as much as they were imagining greatness for themselves, thinking that to be the most important was the best. What I love about this gospel is that Jesus was not about to let his original lesson get sidelined. And I wonder about Jesus. I wonder what he was feeling in those moments. Do you think he was frustrated? Frustrated that the disciples just didn't get it again, especially in Mark's gospel where the disciples don't get it over and over and over again? Or was he annoyed when they wanted to avoid the discussion? Or maybe was he just persistent because he knew that this was such an important topic and he was determined to teach that lesson as many times as they took for them to get it? Well, whatever Jesus was feeling, he met the disciples where they were at, just as he met pretty much everyone on their level. In the middle of the argument about who was the greatest, Jesus brought a child into their midst and said, essentially, I'm paraphrasing, but you know what? Well, I know what greatness is. Greatness isn't about being strong and having the ability to dominate. Greatness isn't about having the most power and influence. No, greatness is about welcoming folks who have no power and influence. It's about welcoming folks who are on the margins, who are often overlooked, who might be treated as less than human or as possessions. That's what greatness is. When you welcome someone who fits those categories, you welcome God as well, because God isn't always found with the mighty and powerful. Now, I've completely paraphrased what Jesus said, but that's what I get from that lesson. And reflecting on this scripture, the Reverend Stuart Elliott asserts that when we truly welcome someone, we accept them for who they are, welcoming their ideas, their thoughts, and their perspectives. And he goes on to say, or to ask, when we welcome a child, do we welcome them as someone who needs to grow and learn, and who we teach? Or do we welcome them as someone from whom we can learn, as we watch and develop with them through the years? There's a difference there. The implication being, of course, that true welcome demands vulnerability and humility. True welcome expects us to be curious about each other and the world around us. It requires us to open ourselves to a different perspective, whether we welcome a child, each other, a stranger, someone on the margins of society, or, as creation time would have it, as we're celebrating it in the church, the earth, when we welcome the earth and all that's in it, and when we accept its welcome. When we do that, we need to have that courage to get curious and to sometimes be uncomfortable, as our perceptions can often be challenged by each other. And as we develop and grow, because we know that our faith is not static, it grows with us. And that is precisely what we witnessed Jesus modeling for his disciples as he taught them some of these uncomfortable truths that accompanied his ministry. And the good news for us is that in this act of welcome and radical hospitality, in the work of being curious, in the work of learning about different perspectives, and in the work of not avoiding difficult topics, that's where we experience God. For Christ welcomes our questions and our interests. Christ continues to journey with us and keeps asking questions of us that have us considering things. Even when we don't get it the first time around, Christ is there teaching us, finding ways to continually communicate the important things to us. And so as a people of faith, we are called to develop our curiosity. We are called to journey alongside each other, not with one person knowing everything and what's best for everyone, but as a community, learning alongside each other, sharing the wisdom we've gleaned, extending compassion and grace, no matter our age or our stage, because whatever age or stage we are, we have wisdom to share, whether we're little or getting on in years, or somewhere in between. No matter our abilities, there's always wisdom that we have that we can share with each other. And as we do this, as we learn together as community, as we extend that compassion and that grace, we build a community that feels safer, that feels safe enough where we can tackle some of the difficult questions of life and faith. And as we seek to live in respect in creation, that tenet of our faith and a part of what we explore in creation time, we extend this to also invite us to explore the world around us, to welcome what creation has to teach us, finding new perspectives through which we can perceive things, whether it's through the photos of an astronaut orbiting Earth, through the eyes of a child who is usually a little closer to the Earth, just by virtue of height. Although with some of these kids who are sprouting up, that's a whole different story. Whether it's asking ourselves what human needs could come in second to the needs of the Earth, or asking ourselves, what does the Earth need most? What is it crying out for us to understand? These are some of the ways that we can glean the wisdom of the Earth, that we can learn together from each other and from the world around us as we live into our faith. And so my prayer is that we might exercise our curiosity, that we might explore new perspectives. My prayer is that we might live with compassion and grace so we can foster that very curiosity and so that we can share it as a community of faith. And my prayer is that we do, as we do these things, we encounter God with us, encouraging us and guiding us along the way. May it be so. I invite you to join together and sing God Who Gives to Life Its Goodness. And as you find your seats, know that this is the time of our worship service where you are welcome to come and share a story of where you've seen God at work in the world, of perhaps in this creation time, the goodness of the creation around us and some of the wisdom you might have gleaned from it. Picking up from some of the stuff we learned from the kids, how we work to follow Christ, or something of that sort. You're welcome to come and share a story of your faith, if you so feel called.
So Reverend Aaron was talking about welcoming with the children. We never know when this church is welcoming to other people and they acknowledge it. This is an email I received this week because of the Grand Bazaar. There was a vendor there. I will say her name in English, Veronica. And because my French doesn't come out well, but she wanted to share something with me, and she also wanted to become part of the craft and art show in November as well. But here's what she said. It was very nice to meet you and all the ladies from the church. What a welcoming place. And then she goes on to say that she's available in November. She says, however, is it possible to get a table on the main floor? They always do. And at the front again. I know there will be two floors, but if I'm allowed to choose, I would really appreciate being located close to the bakery, she called it, corner. Like the last time. Also, I really should have bought more of all those goodies. We don't know when we are going to be welcoming people, and they are going to appreciate it. Events that we have, people after the pancake supper, wrote and said, what a wonderful place. Everybody was so great to us. So, yes, we are a welcoming church, and we should continue to remember that as we welcome people through our doors, whether it's on a Sunday morning or any other time during the week that we hold an event, or somebody just comes through the door.
Good morning. I had the privilege of being invited to take part of the Fall National United Church Women's Gathering this past week. I spent 3 days with 40 women who are in the leadership roles from all the regions and the executive of United Church Women. And the reason I was invited to this one in particular is that every 5 years, the United Church Women celebrate. And so in 2027, as I've mentioned before, the anniversary is being held in the Eastern Ontario Outaouais region, and we are gathering in Ottawa. And surprise, surprise, I am the chair of the anniversary celebration with a good team beside me. So that was one of the reasons I was there. The other one, I just took in the workshops, the worship services, the fellowship at night. And two things just to let you know how UCW builds up communities across Canada and the world. So every 5 years, we do select a project to support. And more often than not, as I can remember, as I've sat on the executive for many years, we've always sent our money overseas, which is great. Well, this year, in the end of 2022, we selected to support the Healing Fund, which is Healing Fund for Indigenous Communities across Canada. And we asked that we wanted projects that supported women, children, and families. So we've also now completed two projects. So we have raised $75,000 in the last year. And the first project was Mummy and Me baby bags to help newborns, new families, new moms have a good start with babies, things that they may not think, oh, yeah, I needed this. So that was the first project. And how they work through the Healing Fund, they have a set amount and time, which we qualified for. And the next one, it's called Crazy Kitchen Helpers, I think. So we're making kitchen work fun and how to, you know, work in the kitchen, how to cook, recipes, et cetera, for moms and children. So we're excited for that. And now we're looking for our third project. And another piece of exciting news that I was part of is that a motion was moved, seconded, and carried that the National United Church Women's Organization has started discernment on becoming an affirmed association. And I'm sitting on the committee. So there's eight of us women on the committee to start, bringing to the national level. Again, individual UCW local units have their own decision whether yes or no, but as a national organization, we are taking the steps. So it was a very good half week for me, and they asked would I like to come back next year, and of course I said yes. And it's just what you know, you get rejuvenated at these conventions, you get meet new friends, you reconnect with older friends, and it's just a great, great week. Thank you.
At this time, let's present our offering. Generous and loving God, in your name we dedicate these gifts for the work of your kingdom in this place. There is much to be done to restore your creation and rectify injustice in this world. So with grateful hearts, we pledge to share as we are able our time, talents, and monetary gifts where they are needed. Bless the gifts we offer today and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. for prayers of the people. Again, no slide, but there's a response. When I say loving God, you respond with, hear our prayer. So loving God. God of all creation and of all creatures, we pray today for the peacemakers, for seekers of justice, for people of goodwill who risk much, sometimes their lives, to stand in solidarity across many dividing lines and barriers. We pray for those who have lost loved ones to violence, and for safety, security, human rights, and dignity for all, not just some. We pray for the courage to continue working together for a world of justice, peace, and equality. Loving God, God of all creation, we give you thanks for agreements and treaties that safeguard the environment and human rights. We pray for all who seek to make these a reality, especially all who are charged with following up on these agreements and treaties. May their efforts be fruitful. And may we, too, find ways of living into them in our own part of the world. Loving God, God of all creation, we remember those who are far from power. We pray for all who are vulnerable in the face of flood and drought, wind and weather. All who are vulnerable in the face of impersonal global markets. All who are crying out for help and justice in times of distress. Loving God, God of all creation, you receive the cries of the earth and your Holy Spirit speaks to you when our cries are so deep that words lose their meaning. We pray for all our concerns, those that were represented by the rocks we brought forward, along with those that are still carried in our hearts. And today, especially, we pray for our siblings in the Catholic community and all who are grieving the death of Monsignor Kevin Maloney. Loving God, may we all of us be inspired by the word that makes all things new, to speak words of truth, words of dignity, words of peace, and words of life. In the name of the word who became flesh, we pray. Amen. And we continue to pray, saying the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to join in the last hymn, and sing your praise to God eternal.
Thank you.
go in peace and be witnesses to hope. May God bless us with strength to seek justice. May God bless us with wisdom to care for the earth. May God bless us with love to bring forth new life.